Louisiana State University Health Sciences Center, the Department of Psychiatry in New Orleans. My co-authors are Edward Morse with Tulane University Health Sciences Department of Pediatric Infectious Disease and the Department of Sociology, and also Samuel Burgess, who's with the Office of Public Health as well as with Louisiana State University, and Stan Hugerwerf, who is with Louisiana State University and Tulane University. So as you can see, we're a collaborative group. Okay, what we're going to look at today is we're going to try to examine the relationship between behavioral health factors and HIV and HCV-related risk behaviors and a cohort of young incarcerated African-American IDUs. Now, this work is part of a large National Institute on Drug Abuse study that is a longitudinal study. What we're going to talk about right now is really just some of the baseline data from that study. Some of the interest in this particular issue, obviously I come out of a department of psychiatry, so I'm going to be interested in behavioral health. But also, we were part of the collaborative injection drug user study funded by the Centers for Disease Control, and we spent a lot of time looking at behavioral health issues related to injection drug use and how that interplayed with engagement in high-risk injection behavior as well as high-risk sexual behavior. So that's kind of the history behind all of this. All right. Several findings from large-scale surveys indicate that between 7 and 10 million adults in the United States have co-occurring disorders. So we know that many of the injecting drug users that we work with also have mental health issues. And I think probably 7 to 10 million might even be an underestimation for those of you doing clinical work out there. In one of Latkin's studies, they looked at African-American male IDUs in Baltimore, and it was very clear from their data that psychological distress predicted injection equipment sharing. So again, the literature, since about early 2000, really began to look at the connection between behavioral health issues and high-risk engagement and high-risk injecting practices and high-risk sexual practices. And then also in a study in Baltimore, among IDUs, depressive symptoms were associated with multiple sex partners and with increases in sex with other IDUs. So again, continued connection there between engagement in high-risk health behavior and behavioral health outcomes. All right, a couple more studies. Joe et al. Looked at 5,000 black Americans. Those were Caribbean Americans and African Americans. And 4.1% reported a lifetime suicide attempt. And similarly, in the same study, participants who had ever been diagnosed with drug dependence were more than six times as likely as others to have attempted suicide. Again, just some emphasis here of the connection between behavioral health issues and engagement in high-risk health behaviors. All right. This, as I mentioned, is a NIDA-funded study conducted in Orleans Parish Prison, part of the Orleans Parish Criminal Sheriff's Office. The sample was recruited in jail but followed outside of jail. Between 2001 and 2005, the eligibility criteria were African-American, ID year during the 6 months prior to incarceration. They were between the ages of 18 and 30. They had been incarcerated for less than 6 months and were expected to be released within the next 6 months. And they were HIV negative at baseline. Using ACASI technology and computers, we were able to gather baseline data, some of which were demographics, substance use history, HIV and HCV, sexual and drug use risk behaviors, mental health history. We also did laboratory testing for HIV, HPV, and HCV, as well as some other STIs over time. And again, this is a longitudinal study. I'm really just reporting on the baseline data. Some of the mental health measures that we looked at were two that were fairly subjective. The first two, in the 6 months prior to incarceration, how frequently did you feel depressed? And in the 6 months prior to incarceration, how frequently did you feel nervous? The next group really were looking at whether they had ever been diagnosed with a mental health problem, ever been in treatment, taken medication, outpatient treatment, inpatient treatment, really a history of receiving some sort of mental health care. Some of this was based, again, on our CITUS work, and I think when you look at some of this later on in the findings, you'll see that I think as we're talking about this particular group, you'll see that I don't think they had as much access to mental health care, and so the use of these, you know, whether they'd been diagnosed or taken medication or been in inpatient or outpatient care, I think you'll see some reduction in prevalence of people where that was the case. And then we asked about suicidal thoughts, a suicidal plan, and whether anyone had actually attempted suicide. Right. Of the 228 young IDUs we surveyed, the mean age was 24, a little over 24 years, almost 25 years. They were mostly male. 76% had never been married. Very low literacy rate, less than high school. I mean, very high illiteracy rate, very low literacy rate. 81% had less than a high school education. 21% had been homeless for the 6 months prior to their incarceration. And the mean income, monthly income for the subjects prior to incarceration was a little over $1,000. Our sample really had been incarcerated quite frequently. However, most were incarcerated for municipal offenses. A lot of drunk in public, a lot of trespassing, some felonies, but most were municipal offenders. At baseline, almost 70% tested HCV positive. Almost 4.5% were HBV positive, and 4% were both HCV and HBV positive. As I remember, that HIV was an exclusion criteria in the study originally. The reason it was an exclusion criteria is because the study, the overall point of the study was really to provide an intervention, a three-arm intervention study that would reduce transmission of HIV infection. And so we wanted folks to be HIV negative at baseline. Basics on their substance use history. I don't think there's anything unusual here for those of you who work in the field. About they're drinking about 20 drinks per week. Most of them had injected by the time that they were 20, 21 years old. Most of them had been in drug treatment at least once. Some people had been in drug treatment as many as 10 times. There were 3.49 incarcerations, an average of 3.49 incarcerations across the group. About 61% injected every day, and about a little over 86% injected more than once a day. Not necessarily every day, but when they did inject, more than once a day. Again, you see what you would expect, a lot of high-risk sexual behavior, mean lifetime partners, 37 partners, an average of about 6 female partners, less than 1 other male partner, and the group, over 50% of the group either never or rarely used condoms. 71% did not use condoms at their last sexual act, and 26% gave drugs or money for sex, and 14% received drugs or money for sex, and almost half had been treated for an STI prior to our survey. Okay, more than half had ever shared a syringe, And about half, almost half, had shared a syringe in the last 6 months prior to incarceration. At the time that this baseline study was done, this was prior to Katrina. When you're from New Orleans, you talk about life pre-Katrina and life post-Katrina. So this was prior to Katrina. And the jail system at that time was a fairly secure jail system, and there was very little opportunity in that jail system to get drugs, and certainly to get drugs that one would inject. So most of this behavior took place 6 months prior to incarceration. Again, you see sharing cookers, sharing rinse water, backloading. And what we did was we took the last five items and created a simple additive risk scale. So a person could score a 0 to a 5 on that risk scale. And I would say most of our people scored about a 3. And about half of the sample engaged in high-risk injecting practices prior to incarceration. Now, as you can see, the two subjective measures that I talked about, one about feeling depressed or feeling nervous, more than half of the sample indicated that either sometimes or always they felt depressed and nervous. And almost 20% had been diagnosed at some point in time with a mental health problem. The numbers get smaller from there until you get down to suicidal thoughts, and you see over 30% had had thoughts of suicide. And again, for those of you who do a lot of work with injection drug users, you understand that they do often have suicidal thoughts and can talk about the times when they could push it just a little bit more and it would send them over the edge. So again, I think a pretty high prevalence there of suicidal thoughts in the group. All right. Next thing we wanted to look at, and in our CITUS data, it was interesting that it had been pretty common for folks with a prior mental health history to have shared injecting equipment. And here you can see, too, similarly, that over half of those people with a prior injection history, a little over half had ever shared syringes. So they were slightly more likely with an injection, with a prior mental health history, to share syringes. And then for the indirect sharing, 6 months prior to incarceration, you see that kind of flip-flop a little bit. Again, I think some of this has to do with their access to mental health care, so therefore the prevalence of a prior mental health history was lower than what we found in our CITUS data. In our CITUS data, more people had access to mental health care, and I think we had a higher prevalence of folks with a mental health history. Okay. Again, these are continuing here with the indirect sharing practices. And although I think there's significant numbers that with a prior mental health history that do share, it's a little bit of a different picture than we saw in our CITUS data. Those numbers would be flipped. Okay. Then we come to the folks with condom use and the sexual risk behaviors. Again, people with a prior mental health history, only sometimes, and 34% never used condoms. And then similarly, when you look at prior mental health history, you find it split for about half and half using condoms on their last sexual encounter. So this is a little bit backwards from our CITUS data, because our CITUS data, the sexual risk behavior was not associated at all with mental health history, but here you can see it is. All right. Suicide ideation, we had, as you saw before, about 30% who had some suicidal thoughts, and here you'll see that, again, for those who had suicidal ideation, were more likely to share syringes, more likely to share in the prior 6 months, not to backload for some reason, to share cotton, and again, all the indirect measures, share cotton, share rinse water, share cookers. Again, similarly with condom use frequency, you found that those with suicidal ideation or sometimes, either only sometimes or never, use condoms. And suicide ideation was not really associated with condom use the last time. Right. Now, the subjective measures, again, since a lot of our folks didn't have access to mental health care, it was unlikely that they would ever have the opportunity, I guess, if you want to call it an opportunity, to be diagnosed with a mental health problem. So we were very interested in their subjective measures, and in our CITUS data, the subjective measures were pretty significant in predicting or being associated with injection risk. And here we see that the frequency of feeling depressed was positively associated with increased injection risk and sexual risk. Frequency of feeling nervous was positively associated with increased injection risk and sexual risk. We looked again at HCV baseline prevalence with mental health history. We really didn't find a relationship there. We had found that in our CITUS data. All right, more than 30% of all the IDUs surveyed indicated that they had some sort of suicidal ideation, and almost 20% had some sort of a mental health history, a documented mental health history. Mental health history was significantly associated with engagement in sexual risk behavior, not significantly associated with engagement in injecting risk behavior. And the subjective feelings of depression and nervousness were significantly associated with sexual and injecting risk behavior. And so, co-occurring mental disorders, we found certainly in this study and over time, I'm not sharing with you the six-month follow-up data and the one-year follow-up data because we do have some of that. It's not all in yet. But that co-occurring mental disorders are clearly prevalent with our IDU risk behavior, and that we do need to assess those. And we have found in our intervention, part of this is our intervention study, that if we don't address the mental health issues and concerns of our injectors, then they're less likely to engage in the intervention process and reduce their risk behavior.